Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. It's from the New International Version. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." He got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, choir, and thank you, Isaac, for accompanying the choir. The bass really works well with that song, so thank you. All right, let's see here. Stood alone on a mountaintop. This is a quiz. Staring out at the great divide. I could go east, I could go west. It was all up to me to decide. Just then I saw a young hawk flying, and my soul began to rise, and pretty soon my heart was singing.
Loudly,
no. Roll me away. Roll me away. Anybody remember Bob Seger anymore? Roll me away. Roll me away. So this Advent season, we've been talking about stretches of highway that we travel throughout our lives. In past Sundays, we've talked about times when our lives are profoundly interrupted. Then the next Sunday, we talked about times when our lives felt inspired, when we seemed to be right in the groove, things going fine. And then times when we feel in prison, like last week when we talked about Blue Christmas, where we bear a heavy and depressing load. Today, in the last of the series, yet another stretch of highway we ponder, and that is something I call life interrogated, which means to question. Times in life when we don't always know which way to travel, which road to take, like the Bob Seger song. I could go east, I could go west, it was all up to me to decide. We're at crossroads and we wonder what God wants us to do, but life, unfortunately, doesn't always afford us the time to make a decision. Sometimes life forces us to make a decision and we still don't know exactly which is the best way to go, but we have to choose. This is the road to Nazareth, by the way, as traveled by Joseph, Mary, and the child Jesus, about which Mike just read a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 1. Please remember that the reason the Holy Family is in Egypt is because they were trying to escape the henchman Herod the Great, who was trying to kill all children and catch Jesus in that net, all male children up to the age of 2. So they had fled to Egypt, and now Herod was dead, and they have a decision to make. That's why this is so poignant for today. They had two choices. They could return to Bethlehem, which was actually their hometown. Now here's where I get a little scholarship in that Matthew and Luke disagree with each other. Luke seems to think that Jesus' family is from Nazareth, but Matthew says they were originally from Bethlehem. That's where they had a house. And when the wise men came, they came to the house, not to the manger. So they could go back home to Bethlehem, which would have been probably a logical choice. But instead, the other choice was, obviously, somewhere else. And sure enough, they wandered out of Egypt. And in this questioning time, they decided to go north into Galilee and finally find themselves in a tiny village known as Nazareth. It really wasn't the logical place to go. They were familiar already with Bethlehem, where they had lived, where Joseph, no doubt, had worked. But now they were in a strange land, up in Galilee, some distance north and unknown to them. Lots of decisions to make, like where should we live? Where should I set up shop? Getting acclimated to a different place and different people and perhaps even a slightly different culture. No doubt Joseph and Mary would have had lots of questions about what should we do? Decision time, what should we do? Kind of like we have. We make decisions all of our lives. Whom should I marry? Where should I live? What occupation should I pursue? What college should I attend? What church should I join? What charity should I support? When should I go on Medicare? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Some people make decisions well, unlike me. We call them decisive people. There are some decisive people out there who, given a fork in the road, know exactly which way to take, and they take it. I would venture to say most of us probably don't. We ponder long and hard, sometimes overthinking. And what makes it so difficult for Christians is that not only do we have issues like money and ambition and where the family is, but what would God want us to do? So that's the additional question that we Christians ask. How to figure out, how to surmise God's will? And here's my answer. We're waiting. Quite frankly, and I know I speak for many of you out there as well, I have never had a direct intervention of God, like a dream, like Joseph had, telling me exactly what I should do. None of the bushes in my yard burn like they did for Moses. There's no mountain in my backyard where I could go up and transfigure before God and figure out what I should do. So here's what I've come up with. As long as my conscience is clear and my relationship with God is up to snuff and in good shape, I can go either left or right. I can assume that if my relationship with God is a good one and it is in working order, I can, in clear conscience, go either way, and I will be fine because I know that God will accompany me as I go. Now, the advantage of doing this is that we don't have to look back and have regrets. If our conscience is clear in making a choice, then there need be no regrets, even if course corrections happen. You know, I know the stuff about divorce. I'm divorced myself and remarried, and you look back and you wonder. But God doesn't expect us to know outcomes before they happen. Divine foreknowledge is not the basis of good decision-making because we don't know what God has in mind or in store. No one knows the outcome of choices made in good faith because life changes, life evolves, and so do we, forcing even more choices. I think of Soren Kierkegaard's quote here, his oft mentioned one where he says, life can only be understood backwards. Unfortunately, we have to live forwards, but can only understand our choices backwards after they've been done. We are faced with choices, the outcome of which we don't understand. We live forward, and only from the benefit of hindsight can we figure out what was, as we say, wrong or bad, and what was good. But if we made the decisions in good conscience, God has approved them. I find this an excellent resource in dealing with people who need counseling about having made bad decisions. They come in and they say the magic words, what if? Or if only I had married that person instead of the person I did. If only I had chosen that career instead of this one. If only I had done this instead of that. Lots of regrets, but if we have gone into those decisions with a clear and good conscience, then we really haven't made mistakes. We've just had learning experiences. And it's okay, because God has approved. I think that's important for us to understand. Our lives need not be interpreted as a bundle of failures. No. Only a series of learning experiences and improvements as we become more human and reflect the image of God. We don't know if Joseph and Mary ever regretted the decision to relocate to Galilee. I don't know if they said, what if, or if only we had. We don't know that. But one thing we do know from the benefit of hindsight is that it was a good thing they went to Galilee because it was only there, not in Judea, where Jesus could have succeeded. You remember in Judea, Jesus died. His message would not have been accepted there. But in Galilee, in the hinterland of those towns in Galilee, which was a mixed population, There Jesus succeeded. There he could offer a message of wisdom and love and move from town to town as an itinerant wandering preacher, healing, doing good things, and simply saying, all that you need to do is love God and love your neighbor. That was important for us. And thankfully, Joseph and Mary did make that decision. So my advice is stoke your good conscience by awareness of the divine in and around you. Be in close contact with the divine, however you articulate the divine. And you can make any decision that you wish. And have good confidence that God approves and goes with you in that choice. You can go east, you can go west. The decision is up to you. There's no reason to cower in fear or ever think that you're going to have a regret. I think that's one of the main messages of Christmas. At Christmas, we talk about theologically this fancy word incarnation, which simply means that God has revealed God's self in human flesh. That's all that means, incarnation, enfleshment. And if that is God turning to humankind, especially to a human like Jesus, who was like us and had the same inadequacies, limitations of knowledge that we do, we can be safe and sure in being that way. So we don't need to be ashamed of being human and limited, because God is disclosed in vulnerable human form with all of its limitations. And I'll leave you with this. If God speaks human, we can too. Amen and amen.